Easter is the greatest feast in the Christian calendar. On Sunday, for Catholics, this Easter Sunday comes at the end of 40 days of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And our tradition continues as we invite His Eminence, Cardinal Blaise Supich, who serves over 2.4 million Catholics in Chicago, to our show this Easter weekend. Hello, Cardinal Supich, and welcome back.
Thank you, David. Good to be with you again.
Always.
Happy Easter to everybody.
Thank you, and always a pleasure to have you here. All right, Sunday is Easter, but you know, what are the plans this weekend at Holy Name Cathedral?
Well, of course, we began a Holy Week with Palm Sunday, and then on Tuesday had the Chrism Mass where we bless the oils, and then, of course, Holy Thursday evening, Good Friday, as we had today, and then the Easter Vigil on Saturday night, and then Sunday, we have many opportunities for people to come to church on Easter Sunday.
I know Blessing of the Baskets are also a big tradition. It was always a big tradition for the Polish side of my family to do that, and it's great. As you walk into church, there's a waft of Polish sausage that you smell coming in all the time.
Well, that's true, and I remember growing up in a Croatian home, we did the same thing, and not only did we have the sausage aroma wafting through the church, but also of baked goods, mm-hmm. especially breads that were just came out of the oven.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, there's a word we talk about the last few days, and that is Triduum. Explain what Triduum is. It encompasses what parts of the Easter season?
Well, as the prefix of that, T-R-I, Tri means it's the 3 days in which we, you know, with Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday together. It's that complex of the days in which we really enter into the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And in fact, the Triduum, those 3 days, were really the original period of preparation that expanded then into 40 days later on in the life of the church.
So you mentioned the Chrism Mass that took place on Tuesday. Some parishioners do attend, but it's really about all the pastors and priests from the Archdiocese, right?
Well, so we do invite parishioners to come, especially if they're the ones responsible for taking the holy oils that have been consecrated back to their parishes. And so those are the oils of the catechumens, which we anoint those who are coming to die for the church, the oil of the sick, and also the Chrism Mass, which is used for baptism, confirmation, and ordination. We also have on that occasion an opportunity for the priests in a very public way to renew their promises that they made at ordination. And I was so pleased. We had an enormous turnout of priests this year, and it was a great event for the whole church here in Cook and Lake County.
That's wonderful to hear. You know, I hope to see younger families attend all the masses this weekend. I mean, specifically those who send their children to Catholic school, CCD, which is our religious education program. If you're making that commitment as a family and a fiscal commitment, really, to get your kids a Catholic education, that experience should really start on Sunday, not just be on Easter and Christmas. It should be every Sunday, shouldn't it?
Well, in fact, you know, Easter in the ancient church was always called the Great Sunday, because every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. So every Sunday is an opportunity for us to celebrate what we do on Easter Day.
I wanted to pivot a little bit and ask you a couple of questions. A couple of months ago already, the Archdiocese ordained 5 new auxiliary bishops. That was Timothy J. O'Malley, Lawrence Sullivan, Jose Maria Garcia Maldonado, Robert M. Fedek, and John Szymanowski, who I know very well. That many people becoming bishops at the same time doesn't happen every day, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. But on the other hand, there was a real need. And we anticipated that some of the auxiliaries that we had before would be asked to serve elsewhere. And that, in fact, was the case, because my vicar general was tapped by Pope Francis to go to Cincinnati. Earlier, of course, we know that Bishop Jeffrey Graub went up to Milwaukee. So They keep taking people from us, but and so we have other people in the pipeline.
I like that. No, I like that very much. Tell folks really what an auxiliary bishop does in the archdiocese and what those responsibilities are. I know, like, ours has stayed as pastor at St. Juliana on the northwest side of Chicago, which is kind of new. Bishops didn't always run churches, but that is now part of that responsibility. But there's a greater responsibility as well.
Well, in fact, usually the auxiliaries have a part of the archdiocese, a region, a vicariate that they take care of. And so Bishop Szymanowski will have the second vicariate where his parish of St. Julian is located. But all of the auxiliaries told me that they wanted to be a pastor of a parish because they wanted to have that real close experience in a pastoral way with people. So all of them are taking parishes, except for my vicar general, Bishop Larry Sullivan, who will be living with me at the cathedral rectory. But they assist me by dividing up the work in the archdiocese into six vicariates, each one of them having responsibility.
So how is Pope Francis doing? I know he has had a rough time for a while.
Well, yes, he was hospitalized for several weeks. He's returned now, and you can see in the news reports that he's not backing off in these very high holy days, showing up at different opportunities, and he's receiving some people as well. He's on the mend, but he's got to take time for convalescence, as the doctors say, but he seems to want to put himself out there with people. And I just hope that he pays attention to his doctors, because I think, recovery is so very important in taking the time for it.
Well, and as we get older, we all get a little more stubborn about taking care of ourselves.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's a message that's not lost on me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I saw that he met with the people that saved his life this week.
Well, yes, he's a man who's very grateful. There was a report that he's also going to do some special things during Holy Week, visit a prison, show up at some of the ceremonies. So he's the Pope of surprises, so I think everybody should stay tuned.
Absolutely. You know, just this week, too, the Pope published a Reformation document redefining what a diplomat of the Holy See must be. What is the Holy See and the history behind it and the changes he is making?
Well, of course, the Holy See is the embodiment of what the governance of the church is about. So just like every see, there's a see of Chicago and see of, Milwaukee and so on. The Holy See is the one in which the successor of Peter lives and governs the universal church. So, for instance, the United States has diplomatic relations, not with the Vatican City, but with the Holy See, because that's the governance of the church.
Got it. And he's making some reforms to identify really what the Holy See must be. So it is his vision kind of going forward.
Well, it is what it is. It's a revision of the program for training those who are going to be diplomats around the world. Like the diplomat we have in the United States is Cardinal Christophe Pierre in Washington. He is fully accredited as a diplomat to the White House, because that was established in 1984, January the 10th.
Wow, very cool. All right. Back to Chicago here. I know the Archdiocese is rolling out a critical fundraising initiative called Generation to Generation. My parish went through it in one of the pilots, we'll call it, last fall, but it's going to slowly roll out over the next couple years. Explain to folks what that is all about, because it's all-encompassing.
Well, yes, we're very much aware of the fact that we have benefited from the many contributions of people in past generations. And so we're at a stage right now where we realize that there are some capital improvement needs in parishes, but we also have to care for those other parishes that may be strapped for resources and living in more less resourced areas. So we want to set up a fund for them. We also want to do something for the retirement of our priests and development of our priests, and also to invest in our spiritual renewal program within all the parishes. So it's about how do we hand on the faith to the next generation, just as it's been handed on to us.
It's interesting that you added on really professional development for your pastors and the priests, because that's really, really important. I mean, not only are they leaders of their communities of faith, I mean, but they're generally the CEOs and president of their churches and the church and, well, in a school and so forth.
Well, that's true. And I think, you know, what we really want to make sure is that each of our priests has a growth plan, so that on an annual basis, they can take an assessment of how they're growing in their ministry and what resources they need now in order to develop. You know, many of our guys are going to be a pastor shortly after ordination, and for us to expect them to be in that same role as pastor for up to 40 years and not have any development is really foolhardy.
Yeah, and I know you've gotten together with your pastors over the summer, almost like a convention, a conference, and so forth. But it really does strengthen that learning opportunity for the leaders that these communities count on.
Well, and I think you're right. They take on so many responsibilities. Being a pastor of a parish is very complex these days. I mean, you have all sorts of HR rules, government regulations. You have financial accountability systems. It really does take someone who's developed not only as a pastor, but as an administrator.
Absolutely. Absolutely does. Catholic Charities is such an important arm of our Chicago churches. And, you know, we always talk about it around the holidays. We talk about charitable organizations. I mean, the need is all year round, right?
It is. You know, I've always said that Catholic Charities helps the church put its best foot forward. They have the ability and resources and experience to really make an impact on the common good. There are so many challenges that people face each day, living in poverty, suffering from all sorts of difficulties that they've maybe been part of a generation in their family, from racism, the new immigrants that we have coming into our area. So it's about putting into practice what the Pope says the church should be as a field hospital.
Absolutely. And we are that source here in Chicago. I mean, it is a very, very, very strong and vital organization for us.
It is. We reach out to so many people through Catholic Charities. It's not about them being a Catholic. It's about our being Catholic and what it means for us to reach out to people.
We are talking to Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. Okay, after all the masses on Sunday, are you doing brunch, dinner with friends and family? How do you, I mean, it's a very busy week, so it must be nice at some point to relax and have a meal with some friends.
Well, I am. In fact, I was invited after my Easter Sunday Mass to be with some folks. And I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm going to take a big nap.
I bet you are. I bet you are. What are your favorite Easter memories as a child? I know we talked a little bit about the food, but, you know, what do you remember growing up?
Well, it's from the whole business of coloring Easter eggs when we were children to preparing an Easter basket to go up to church to have the food blessed. But also right after Easter morning Mass, when we all sang in the choir, to come back and to have that blessed food for Easter breakfast. It always really, that was a very memorable part of our celebration.
Well, food was a big deal, too, because really, I mean, back in the day, too, I mean, besides fasting on Friday, not eating meat all through the Lenten season, and again on Good Friday, I mean, at that point, people did not eat, and they fasted until Sunday morning Mass. I mean, that was pretty much the tradition way back when.
Exactly. In fact, you could not have anything to eat up until early morning Sunday, and if you went to Mass, you had to fast before you went to communion.
Very true. Very, very true. Well, Easter is Sunday morning, and I invite Cardinal Supich in advance of this special day to share your message for peace of the season and throughout the year.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me today. You know, for 1,000 years, the church has sung 5 words that capture the message of Easter. Those words are, Christ, our hope, has risen. This is a very simple phrase, yet it powerfully expresses the conviction that our hope is the very person of the risen Christ. He not only rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, but he is present and active in our world today, and that gives us hope. As the risen one, he shares with us his victory and triumph over death and sin. He draws us into a fullness of life that God has always desired for humanity. Christ indeed is our hope. We recall this core belief in this Jubilee year that we're celebrating, where Pope Francis has called us to be pilgrims journeying into hope. This is an invitation to be a people who journey together, walk together, who are confident that we are sustained by the closeness of the risen Christ as we face the challenges of life. And as pilgrims of hope, we walk with the risen Christ and lean on his presence for personal support. But we also discover the power to bring hope to our world, to our families, our communities, workplaces, and nation. This is a great grace and responsibility on our part. And so my simple greeting to everyone is that the Easter faith that Christ, our hope, has risen will grow in each one of us, so that we will join in the work of bringing hope to our world with new enthusiasm, putting aside all of our fears, anxieties, our cynicism, and in the knowledge that by conquering death, the risen Lord has given us the sure hope and promise that we too have risen with him and will live forever. Indeed, Christ our hope has risen, and so have we. Happy Easter to all.
Thank you, Cardinal Supich. Please be well. Happy Easter to you. Please continue to pray for the people of Chicago, and I hope to see you soon, sir.
Well, and I ask their prayers for me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. All right. Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago.